Good morning and welcome to the FirstGroup pre-close conference call. Throughout the call, all participants will be in listen-only mode, and afterwards there will be a question-and-answer session. Just to remind you, this conference call is being recorded. Today, I'm pleased to present Mr. Geoff Carr. Sir, please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to FirstGroup's pre-close trading update for the 6 months to September 30th, 2011. My name is Geoff Carr, Group Finance Director, and with me this morning is Rachel Borthwick, our Corporate Communications Director. Before we go through each of the operating companies in turn, let me just state that overall trading in the period has developed in line with expectations. I expect EPS for the first half to be slightly ahead of prior year, largely due to lower interest charges reflecting improved average effective rates and lower debt levels. We continue to target a net cash inflow of £150 million for the full year, and we continue to identify small non-core business and asset disposals to support that target. Moving on to UK bus, like-for-like passenger revenue growth continued at similar rates to last year, up 1.2% for the period. Overall total revenues will be down slightly due to continued reduction in mileage, reflecting lower levels of tendered business, a run-through of last year's route reductions, overall offset by an increase in our regulated London business, with a number of new routes starting during the period, including the start-up of Route 25 in June. Although we anticipate a moderate margin improvement in the period versus the same period last year for UK Bus, we're cautious about the short, medium-term outlook for UK Bus. The macroeconomic environment continues to soften, and we do not anticipate in the near term an improvement in unemployment or retail footfall through the major regional economies where we are strongly represented. For example, retail footfall is down by over 6% year-on-year in the north of England and by over 8% in Scotland. Additionally, the industry remains vulnerable to pressures on public financing, which impacts concessionary travel, tendered routes outside of London, and fuel duty rebates. However, our confidence in the strength of the bus business is reflected in our investment for the future, which includes the order of over 950 buses over the next 2 years and an investment of £27 million in new ticketing technology, which was announced in the period. The new ticket machines, which are designed to read contactless debit or credit cards or mobile phones, in addition to the ITSO smart cards, will be introduced to buses from the autumn. The contactless bank card functionality will be rolled out later in the middle to late 2012. We believe this type of investment is key as we look to retain and attract new customers. Our rail division continues to perform well with strong revenue growth across all the main train operating companies, and overall like-for-like passenger revenue is expected to grow for the period by 9%. During the period, we are pleased to have concluded the negotiations on TransPennine Express on the franchise extension. As a result, the franchise will be extended beyond the current termination date of February 12 till April 2015, albeit at margins more in line with the industry average. Additionally, on August the 4th, we were informed by the Department for Transport that the Capital Connect franchise will be terminated in September 2013. This will allow a new franchise to be rebid, covering the next crucial phase of the Thames Link program, which includes the introduction of new rolling stock, which is being procured by the Department. As discussed in May, our student division experienced very difficult trading condition last year, and as a result, our overall margins declined from 11% to 8.1% in the period. In response, we launched a student recovery plan, which targeted driving out costs, but more importantly, improving business efficiency throughout the operation. I'm pleased to report that the plan is proceeding very well. However, as we have previously stated, we do expect to see a continued drop in margin in the first half of this financial year relative to the prior year, as that performance is somewhat hardwired in from the last school year. Now, looking to the second half of the financial year, best practice processes have now been established in many areas such as charter revenue, management of driver labour and engineering, and these have been rolled out across all of our 600 locations in time for the start-up of the new school year. It's still early days, but signs are encouraging and feedback from location managers is very positive. Additionally, the bidding season ended as we anticipated, with retention rates improved on last year at around 90%. And while we're seeing signs of improvements in areas such as charter revenue, the overall trading environment, however, does remain challenging. For example, with the start of the new school year, we've seen organic reductions continuing to run at about last year's rate of about 1% as school boards continue to manage their budgets. In summary, and as a consequence of the recovery plan, we expect the operating margin for the second half of the financial year to be broadly in line with the same period last year, indicating a stabilisation of margins in the business. And we'll take you, obviously, through a more detailed update of the plans and the work that we've been doing at the results presentation in November. Our transit division continues to deliver growth from its core business segments, with dollar revenues expected to increase by around 2% for the first half. During the period, we saw a particularly strong performance from our shuttle bus business, with new contracts being won to provide bus services on college campuses such as Yale University, and also volume added to existing contracts in areas such as Fort McMurray in Alberta, Canada. We have a good pipeline of opportunities and continue to utilize the excellent reputation track record of our transit team to retain contracts and win new business. The Greyhound transformation project continues to deliver results. Revenues are expected to be up in the period by around 4%, and margins continue to show some improvement. As we continue to transform Greyhound, we're working through a program to dispose of our more expensive city centre terminals. So, for example, in the period, we completed the sale of the Washington, D.C. terminal, which was flagged in May. In Canada, our plans to reduce uneconomic routes and modernize the network are progressing well, and we expect to return to profitability in the current year. If you recall, we lost about $20 million Canadian dollars 2 years ago in Canada. With a disciplined investment in new and refurbished coaches, we continue to roll out Greyhound Express, which now represents around 14% of the fleet. And where we've introduced the new services, we're very encouraged by the customer response to the new product. We continue to invest in technology, and as Greyhound moves online, with now over 30% of U.S. sales web-based, we're very encouraged also by the success of our 7-Eleven pilot operation to generate ticket sales. In conclusion, the group has a diverse set of operations which are fundamentally strong. And while we continue to address the immediate challenges presented by weak economic conditions in certain markets that we operate, the board is confident that the group has good prospects to continue to deliver long-term value for shareholders. Thank you. Now I'm happy to take any questions. I'll hand back to the operator.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. If you wish to withdraw your question, you may do so by pressing 02 to cancel. We have a question from Mr. Mark Manduka from Merrill Lynch. Sir, please go ahead.
Hi, morning, guys. Mark Manduka from Merrill Lynch. Really simple question, Jeff. On your commentary around school bus, I'm trying to get the joke, I guess, for the second half in terms of what I should be expecting both for the second half year on year. That's clear in the statement, but more extrapolating to the full year margin. And is there an implicitly a downgrade, therefore, to the 7.5% rough margin that people have in sort of consensus forecasts?
I don't think so. I think we're not looking to downgrade the school bus number at all. What I believe is looking at some of the models, the split in margin half on half might not be quite right in all of the models.
So downside to H1, upside to H2.
Yeah, I think H1 what we said in May, and what remains true, is we expect the margin trend for last year to continue into the first half of this year. And obviously the school year was set, the budgets were set, the contracts were in place. Last year we lost around about 3 percentage points of margin. I think we'll continue to lose something of that order of magnitude in the first half of this year.
So broadly break even?
A little bit positive, yeah. When we get into the second half of the financial year, what we've said, just to be very clear and just to restate it, is we think margins will be stabilized year on year. So as a consequence of the business efficiency program, the cost reductions, a smoother start-up to the new school year with less churn of contracts and just generally a more ordered environment, albeit the pressures remain in terms of budgets from school boards, we expect margins to be, as I said, flat year on year. And I think that's an important stabilization that we've been talking about for a while. It's the first time we felt confident to put that in writing, and as I said, we feel reasonably confident about that. Overall, the picture hasn't changed really from when we talked in May.
Understood. Just last question. In terms of momentum on the cost savings, obviously you seem to be saying that it's moving in your favour. How easier has it been versus those original expectations, though, and particularly around the unionisation of the workforce, which is obviously very different from your peers? Have the levers been there to pull, and have you been surprised or disappointed by anything in particular across the cost base?
No, the levers are certainly there to pull. The key areas of focus remain the areas we talked about, which is in basically looking at driver labour efficiency, engineering costs, charter revenue, those sort of areas. I'm not surprised about the opportunities we found. We think there is significant opportunities. We are cautious in the size of the prize that we talked about. I think the one thing that has surprised us is the enthusiasm from the team, the response at the location manager level, the response within the engineering teams, to the guidance, to the best practice, to the way that we've conducted this program, and overall the improvement in morale within the school bus division, I think is very encouraging.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
We have a next question from Mr. Joe Spooner from RBS. Sir, please go ahead.
Morning, guys. Just a follow-on question on Mark's question. In terms of the $65 million of savings you're targeting out of that school bus business, can you just give us a sense of how much of that you're expecting to deliver into the current year? And I guess that's going to be second half weighted. How much of those $65 million is underpinning the margin outlook that you're talking about? And secondly, in terms of what you're saying around UK bus, how are you expecting to respond to that weaker outlook? Is it more about fair price increases going forward? What is it you're going to change in terms of that business?
Okay, I think just in terms of the student recovery plan, what we've previously said is we expect about two-thirds of $65 million savings to come through this year. The most immediate savings come through from basically just reductions in head office staff levels, for example, and right-sizing the fleet and the asset write-offs. The savings that will take a little longer to come through, but we are seeing encouraging signs, are the improvements in efficiency in terms of labour, engineering, and charter revenue. But two-thirds was the number I think we talked about in May, and that remains in line with our expectations. Not a lot has changed there. In terms of UK bus, we're doing an awful lot currently in terms of both cost and commercial side of the business to develop the revenues, to manage our cost base throughout the bus organization, or continue to execute those plans. As I mentioned in the presentation, we're also investing a lot of capital into the bus business in terms of new buses and in terms of the ticketing technology that we'll be introducing relatively shortly. We'll continue to push in those areas. What we're flagging in the statement is just the a fairly sort of obvious statement that the environment in the UK, especially in the areas where we are heavily represented, such as cities such as Glasgow, is very challenging at the moment. And we're stating that purely that people understand that there are headwinds in that business. I'm not looking necessarily to for people to create any sort of panic, but clearly as we look to the second half of the year, we do face some challenging conditions, and people need to take that into account as they look forward. So I would be cautious about projecting growth into that business.
Thanks very much.
We have a question from Mr. Jeff von Claveren from Deutsche Bank. Sir, please go ahead.
Oh, good morning, Jeff and Rachel. First question, can you say what really was the key reason why contract retention for first student was better this year than last year? And secondly, just want to understand or reassure myself what internal controls you've put in place to avoid the situation we had last year with the guidance on first students sort of deteriorating through the year.
Yeah, that's a reasonable question. Jeff, the contract retention, I think, just comes down to better planning. If you go back to, I guess, the fall of 2009, we had a different management structure in place that went through an awful lot of changes in the lead-up to the bidding season for 2010-11. We've had a stable team in place, and we've overseen that team to make sure that the contract retention plans have been rigorous and have been executed well, so that effectively customers are being talked to well in advance to ensure that we understand the customer's needs and that contracts don't come out of the bid where possible. And that's been successful. In terms of the guidance, I recognize that last year was a pretty awful year for the student business, and several factors happened, which meant we brought the number down in dribs and drabs as opposed to foreseeing it earlier. We have a new management structure in place in terms of the finance community. We have a new finance director in place. We have worked very hard to make sure that the communication between the field, i.e. the locations, and the head office is much clearer. We have better processes in place on how we manage our performance management processes in terms of monthly results discussions. And all in all, we feel more comfortable that although we just started the new school year, that we won't have the type of challenges that came across last year. One of the big causes of last year's problems was the number of contracts that came up for renewal, the number of startups that we had, and the number of contracts we lost. And it's just a fact in this industry that forecasting a contract startup in the environment that we were in last year proved to be very difficult, largely because the school boards changed their requirements as they looked to save cost in winning the contracts and implementing the contracts. We don't have that level of churn this year. We're comfortable that the forecast is robust. Obviously, there are factors such as weather that are outside of our control, but we feel confident enough to put it in writing that the margins this year should be in line with last year. We haven't done that before, and I think put it in writing, we don't normally give that level of guidance, but we have worked through that in some detail, and we feel very confident in it being able to do that.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Jeff. That's great.
We have a next question from Mr. Edward Sandford from Oriel Securities. Sir, please go ahead.
Clarification, the Greyhound Express as a percentage of the fleet, is that 14%, 14%? I wasn't quite sure I heard that correctly.
Yeah, it's 14%.
Secondly, on student, at the risk of jumping the gun, are you in a position to start talking about the restoration of or the growth of margins now that you seem to have stabilised them? And if so, what's the recipe for doing that? And thirdly, perhaps just changing the conversation to rail, can you give some idea of the mix between volume and yield and how that's playing out?
Okay, in terms of students, I think it is a bit too early, to be honest, Edward, to talk about growth in margin. Obviously, we've talked about our goals to get the margins back to double digits, but and into that sort of low double digit 10% range. We certainly think there's the potential to get there, but I think it's too early to be factoring that in. We just reached, I guess, an inflection point of margin decline. The tools or the triggers to get back to double-digit margin are quite clear. First of all, we need to continue to execute our retention strategy and bidding strategy to the same level that we did this year, and that is to maintain good levels of retention. Contracts that come out onto the open market for bidding tend to get bid down, and retention is an important tool in that process. Second, we need to look to grow in areas such as charter, and we're seeing some encouraging signs of like-for-like charter revenue per bus starting to improve. We need to continue to drive that back to levels we were there 2 or 3 years ago. Recall, we've had double-digit decline over the last couple of years. So we need to get that back. And more importantly, we need to get our cost base to where we want it by continuing to drive these efficiency programs. I do believe there's considerable scope to continue to push labor efficiency, labor costs, engineering costs, to get them best in class, looking at our procurement opportunities to continue to reduce costs. We need to do all of those because I don't see the overall pricing environment significantly changing in the next year or two. If we do all of those, then I do believe we can get back to those sort of levels in the near term. Sorry. Finally, I don't have any numbers in front of me in terms of the split. I think pricing last year was in the average of about 5%. So I think, clearly you can see the volume must be up in the region of 4 to 5%. I think that's the. I'll get back to you, Edward, on the split. But we'll supply a fuller breakdown of that in November with the results.
Thanks very much.
We have a question from Mr. Alex Bigarni from Liberum Capital. Sir, please go ahead.
Hello, good morning. I just had a couple of questions on the North American businesses. Just firstly on student, you've mentioned that 2/3 of the cost savings will be delivered by the end of this year. When should we expect to see the full year impact of these? And just following on from that, given the school season started now, what is your expectation for H1 2013? I'll give you all the question. And then in terms of transit, I was just wondering if you could give some commentary about why and how you plan to grow in shuttle and fixed route, as you've mentioned previously. And just a short clarification on Greyhound. What exactly is the 7-Eleven program you mentioned? Thank you.
Okay. Just to confirm, we said about 2/3 of the savings would come through in this current financial year. That's 2/3 of the $65 million saving program would be included in this financial year. And we needed that to get the margin stabilized in the second half. And that's certainly coming through. The full year, pretty much next year, should have a full year impact of that $65 million there. So we'll have a full year impact in our next financial year. We haven't really given guidance for the first half of 2013, but I think the read across is that you should not see margins further decline year on year as we get into 2013. As a minimum, I'd expect them to be stable. Coming back to the question from Edward, are we projecting growth in margin yet? I think it's just too early. We have to see the program roll on a few more months before we see that. In terms of the transit growth strategy, we believe that transit operates in some fairly significant sized markets. The growth strategy is through a bidding process for new contracts. We have strengthened the commercial team who execute the bidding work, and we believe that that will generate results as we look to the future. This current year, the growth is probably a bit lower than we would have liked, partly because one of the main contracts we're bidding for, which we won, has gone into a legal dispute, which is unfortunate, but that would have added significant growth to the business. So we continue to bid. We have a strong pipeline of opportunities, and we have confidence that our bidding team is as strong as any in the industry, and that will generate growth going forward. In terms of the 7-Eleven program,
the 7-Eleven program, Alexia, is basically a trial that we've been running with 7-Eleven. It just opens up web fares and tickets to a wider audience. So that market that perhaps don't have access to credit cards, etc. So they can literally buy a ticket online, print off a voucher, take it to the 7-Eleven store and pay for it there. So it's just a cash option for web sales. It's opened up a new market. It's been trialed in the Dallas area in the last couple of months. Been very successful, and they'll be looking to roll it out in the second half.
Okay, thank you.
Could I just ask one question, Jeff? Sorry, it's Peter here. Just on cash flow and asset disposals, could you just confirm how much you sold Washington, D.C. for? And kind of when you talk about other asset disposals, or kind of can I call them one-off costs through the cash flow, are there any kind of exceptional cash cost charges? And what kind of level would you expect asset disposals to be, including Washington?
Well, we haven't given guidance on specific disposals because it's always difficult to assume things are going to be complete. The Washington property was sold for about $48 million, of which approximately $38 million has been received this year. The reason I put it in is that we've always talked about. It's really a clarification. We've always talked about the ability to sell Greyhound properties, for example, the ability to sell small businesses, and we've got a small bus business which might be getting sold in the near future. And I just wanted to be clear that those are inclusive within the target. Obviously, if we sold anything much more substantial, we'd make some other comments about that. But basically, it's just a point of clarification. We haven't really split it out in terms of how much of the cash flow is coming from that, how much of the cash flow is coming from other areas.
Okay. And you wouldn't expect anything abnormally exceptional other than, obviously, some of the exceptional cash costs that you've already announced?
Well, yeah, exactly. We're spending a significant amount of cash costs in terms of the recovery plan, for example, which will be flowing through the cash flow this year.
Okay. Yeah, thanks.
We have a question from Mr. Damien Brewer from RBC. Sir, please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, everybody. Two questions, I guess, UK bus focused. First of all, on the UK bus side, the like-for-like up, could you give us some idea of what the London or non-London actual revenue and mileage looks like rather than just on a like-for-like basis? And then secondly, again, relating to bus, on the cost side, could you give us some idea of what's happened with the labour settlements? Obviously, a weak employment market doesn't just affect top line, it affects labour cost pressures as well. And whether there's been any flow through there, and what still seems to be the largest part of your cost base. And then attached to that also the other big cost element, where are you on fuel? Have you been into the market and put any more hedging in place as fuel commodity prices have eased a bit?
Okay. You said mileage, but I assume you meant what's the split of London, non-London revenue growth on a total basis. Uh, think you mentioned mileage in the question, but I think you meant revenue. So I don't have the numbers in front of me, but effectively non-London will be down because we continue to take mileage out. I'm going to estimate, and I'll get back to you with the details. I assume it's going to be down around about 5%, 4 or 5%. London is going to be there up a little bit because of the new route win. Net, our total mileage will be down a little bit. In terms of labour costs, we continue to settle below RPI, below CPI. I think there's a realisation in the industry that things are tight, and we're quite reasonably good with the settlements we've been achieving, and they're running, as I said, below inflation at the moment. We've been in the market on a regular basis, as we stated in the policy, that each month we go in and we buy forward to extend our cover over the coming 18 months. We remain about 90% hedged for this current financial year. At the levels we showed in May, not much has changed, and we have been taking out cover for the next financial year, but we tend to do that more in terms of a small percentage each month rather than any big particular actions. But yeah, we did buy some recently at below 100, I think for Brent, below $100 a barrel for the first time in a little while.
Okay, thank you. And can I just ask two clarifications if I can? First of all, just on that non-London bus, if the revenue is down 4 to 5%, effectively with a little bit growth underlying, effectively there's still some very significant mileage that's being taken out there.
Yeah, I think what we said is it's the run through of the mileage that was taken out last year, just annualising now. We haven't been taking additional mileage out. The only exception to that is where we have seen a reduction in the tendered volumes outside of London. And that's happened as a consequence of local authority budgets being squeezed, and tendered routes, I think, not the only operator who's seen a reduction in those volumes. So we haven't been taking more mileage out of our bus operation, but we have seen the roll forward from last year, continued roll forward from last year.
Okay. And then just coming back on the answer to another question, the H1 on H1 school bus margin progression, you were suggesting, or I'm not sure you were suggesting, or as sort of the questioner interpreted it as a sort of 3 percentage point reduction in margin year on year. Now, you made 3.7% in H1 10-11, so you're suggesting you're broadly at the sort of 1 percentage margin level for H1 this year in school bus?
Yeah, that's correct. The roll forward from last year's margin decline, I think we said in May and reiterated, will continue into the first half of this year, which was a reduction around about 3 percentage points of margin, absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
We have a question from Mr. Gerald Coutt from Espirito Santo. Sir, please go ahead.
Morning, Gerald Coutt here. One quick question on exceptional items. What should we be expecting this year in first half? And also, should we be factoring anything in for rail bid costs or any other bid costs?
Gerald, I think the only significant, let's call it, exceptional items will be the rail bid costs. We have treated as exceptional and will continue to treat exceptional. And there'll be some in the first half of this year. And the second half of this year, obviously the next 2 or 3 years is a kind of peak period for bidding. I've discussed whether or not we ought to reclassify that, but we've always classified that as exceptional. We'll continue to do that. The only other item to expect is a little bit more competition commission costs that we treated as exceptional last year and will continue to treat as exceptional, but that's a relatively small amount.
Right, so all in this year, we're talking sort of mid-single digits, something in that region, rather than being double digits.
I'm not sure what. You mean
in terms of size? Yeah.
I don't know what the rail bid costs could be, but they could reach in the region of 10 million, I guess, by the end of this year, depending on how much activity there is.
Okay, thanks very much.
We have a question from Mr. Jamie Rowbotham from Morgan Stanley. Sir, please go ahead.
Hi there. Yeah, just a quick question on UK bus, following on a bit from Damien's question, I think. It's focused on regional bus. You mentioned potentially reported revenue declines of 4 to 5% in H1. From the outlook, I dare say that maybe gets even a bit worse in the second half, unless I'm mistaken. So the question is, what's your view on the operational leverage within the UK bus business? You know, when you're taking mileage out, and let's say mileage coming out is causing the bulk of those revenue declines, can we assume that the cost base is going down by a similar percent, or is it, you know, a bit tougher than that in terms of some costs not being that easy to strip out? I just wondered a view on operational leverage to try and get a view on whether revenue declines means decline in profitability as well. Thanks.
No, I think when we take when we've taken mileage out, and the mileage that we've taken out, let me just reiterate, was mileage that we took out pretty much last year, which is annualizing itself in the first half of this year. We're not going to be taking mileage out, and those numbers will be more stable in the second half of the year. But when we've taken mileage out, we take it out with a view to reducing usually underperforming routes. We are able to manage down the costs, and maintain operating margin. So what you'll see this first half is actually a slight increase in operating margin for the UK bus business, albeit off a slightly lower revenue number. So, you know, we don't expect to see the bottom line impacted by mileage reductions. And let's just reiterate that the mileage reduction program was something we went through last year. What I think we said in May and what we've continued to execute is that we felt that had come to an end. And as we look forward, we're looking at opportunities to generate growth, albeit against an economic backdrop, which is very challenging. So I think as we go forward, we won't be looking at mileage coming out of the non-London business, with the exception of tendered operations, tendered routes, which are being cut back as a result of local authority squeeze. Now, our overall tendered business was relatively small, certainly much smaller than a lot of our peers, and so I don't think that's going to significantly impact the overall margin.
That's helpful. Thanks.
Yeah, sorry, just Jamie, just to repeat. Overall, the bus business will report some slight reduction in mileage, a slight reduction in revenues for the half, but improved margins and overall profitability will be relatively healthy.
Understood. Thanks.
Well, if there's no more questions, I'd just like to thank you all, and obviously we are available if there's any follow-ups. Please don't hesitate to give Rachel or myself a call. Thank you very much.
This now concludes our conference call. Thank you all for attending. You may now disconnect your lines.